When we remember and celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, what comes to my mind, and that is true for any Vedantin monk, is the great statement in the Bhagavad Gita, Ida ida hi dharmasya glani bhavadi bharada abhyutthanam atharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham. The meaning is very simple. In the history of human civilization, there are times, and I believe right now we are going through such a interesting kind of times, phase in the human history, when there are difficult times, when there is an ascent of adharma. Sorry, there is an ascent of adharma, means adharma means vices, the opposite of dharma. When evil tendencies, evil forces, both physical and mental evil forces, increase, they are in ascendance, there will be a manifestation of the divine in human form. And in the Vedantic tradition, this manifestation is called by this word avatara or acharya. What they do, these great manifestations, they bring forth from the past the essence of dharma, then they practice in their life, then they reinterpret, giving a new definition, a new description, a new role model, and hand over to the next generation. This spiritual mechanism of spiritual teachers manifesting, appearing in different cultures, different nationalities, in different geographical areas, they are the ones who are remembered over the centuries much more than those who accomplish great things in their material life. So Christ was born at a time when Augustus Caesar, as we read in the Nativity, was the Roman Emperor, and the Roman Empire was expanding. So the historian Gibbon, in his Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, says, you know, the Roman Empire extending from Jordan River to Hadrian Wall, Jordan River in the Middle East and Hadrian Wall in England. So that is the extent of the imperial power of Augustus Caesar, who was the one who introduced taxation. And Jesus' father and mother were going to be registered as part of the census that's taking place at that time. Verily, the first well-known, historically the first well-known examples of the popular census. But we don't remember Augustus Caesar except in history books or in discussions on world history, European history. But Christ is remembered and followed, and people draw inspirations from his teachings, not among Christians alone, but among all people who look for some higher transcendental spiritual value. And that also creates a problem. Christ, the universal spiritual ideal, and Christ, the historical person. So frequently, you know, man-made structures, like the religious hierarchies, they try to compress these great teachers within the framework of their own structure, man-made structure. It could be in the form of hierarchy. Those who believe, those who do certain rituals in the name of Christ are Christians. But those who do not follow, those who do not profess verbally, not necessarily in action, but verbally, they should do the preface. They're outside the framework of Christianity. That's why we have to draw a line when the spiritual Christ and the historical Christ. The spiritual Christ was appreciated by, as most of you know, some of the greatest Vedantins of India, some of the greatest Hindu mystics of India. And modern times, there is no better example, no greater example than Sri Ramakrishna, who could connect with this universal or spiritual Christ, and not necessarily the hierarchical Christ. And that is the relevance of these great manifestations. So Christ, or Jesus Christ, continues to inspire humanity across the barriers, the boundaries of nationality, race, and religious belief systems. Some of you may know, many of you may not, perhaps. Some of Sri Ramakrishna's most well-known household disciples were great students of Christianity. Kesava Chandra Sen was an example. He was invited as a speaker to England more than once by the Unitarian Church. Swami Ramakrishnanandaji, who was the one very orthodox monk who went to the southern parts of India, who established Ramakrishna. Yam, the great chronicler of Sri Ramakrishna, Mahendranath Gupta. In his biography, you find he was so well versed in the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, because he was educated and he grew up in a city where the Unitarian Church, the non-Catholic, the Protestant, not the evangelical, mind you, but the Protestants, different non-Catholic denominations were teaching Christianity among the Hindu elite of the city. And Mahendranath Gupta M. was so well versed in Bible that when he first translated his own Bengali original of the Kathamrita Gospel, he used the language of King James Version of Bible that goes back to 16th century. So you can see the first translation of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna in English, but done by a household disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, he's a chronicler of Sri Ramakrishna. He used the language of King James Version of the Bible. King James assembled a great number of scholars and got the entire Bible translated into English. That's the beginning of the what you call modern English prose. So that's the extent of the spiritual significance of Christ, the universal spiritual Christ we are talking about. So when we read this verse in the Gita, Yada Yadahi Dharmasya Glanin Bhavadi Bharata Abhyuthanam Adharmasya Tadatmanam Sujameham, it comes like a promise from Lord Krishna. So Krishna here represents the divine Godhead. It's a promise. Whenever there is an ascendance of adharma and there is a descent, a decrease of dharma, I appear, I manifest myself for the purpose of preserving and protecting dharma and for removing adharma. This is the essence of this meaning. So from a spiritual universal perspective, Christ was the manifestation of the same divine which appeared in India as Buddha, as Krishna, as Rama, Shankaracharya, or Sri Ramakrishna as modern times, as we believe. So Christ was such a manifestation of the divine in the Middle East. So when they are born, they use the language, the vocabulary, the parables, the analogies, and they practice the same dress code. You can see the you can find the Last Supper. Of course, you have to remember Last Supper. I had some very close friends in India, who actually belong to a denomination of Christianity that predates Roman Catholic Church. That means it began somewhere in the 52nd AD. So the ancient Syrian Church of India. And they told me that in those days, there were no tables like that. Last Supper, you know, you can see. There were no tables in those days. So that is again a matter of the imagination of a painter or an artist. It's a different matter. The point is, in every in every culture, every tradition, every nation, this manifestation happens. So when you interpret them in the light of the language, the parables that they spoke, the food that they ate, there will be differences. But if you look at the essence of what they taught, the very essence of what they taught, then you find there are not many differences between the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Buddha and the teachings of the great Hindu mystics. That's an important point. So when you look beyond the socio-anthropological cultural values, we define only the historical manifestation of the divine, not the universal, then you find they all spoke about the same truth, about the same reality. So that's why you must have read in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, a very interesting episode. Many people perhaps do not understand the spiritual significance. See, Sri Ramakrishna was one day visiting one of his disciples who was a resident of the same place, Dakshineshwar. His house was to the southern border of the Dakshineshwar temple, very close to the Dakshineshwar temple, Jyothir Mallik, and then he had a big portrait of Jesus Christ. And then Sri Ramakrishna closely looked at the divine image as he discovered under Jesus Christ. He was not a baptized Christian, but he could connect with the spiritual dimension of that personality. It's only a painting, you know. A painting. If you look at that, the painting and remove the manifestation of the divine, then it is only a piece of paper and a frame. That's all. But when you look at it and think of it, you can go back to the ancient times, of the times when Christ lived. So Sri Ramakrishna could feel the presence of Jesus in that picture. You can read, I don't want to go into the details. How could he do that? Because Christ is a living symbol, a living manifestation. Anyone who is pure in mind can connect with Christ. And as Sri Ramakrishna said, one can reach the same goal, spiritual goal, either by following the way of Christ, the way of Vedanta, Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, all these different paths and roads will take you to the same destination. This is the spiritual, the universal dimension of the great epoch makers. So on this sacred morning of Christmas, we remember one of history's, humanity's most luminous moments, the birth of Jesus Christ, is a manifestation of divine compassion. Now, another important aspect of Christ. Frequently when we remember the coming of Jesus during Christmas times, it becomes a ritual. But every Christmas celebration is an opportunity for ourselves to think and to pause for ourselves beyond the celebration of the divine birth 2000 years ago. It is also an invitation to each of us to awaken the what we call the Christ consciousness within in all of us. So Christ consciousness doesn't necessarily mean being part of the faith system, but rather connecting with the spiritual teachings of Jesus Christ, which, as I mentioned earlier, are the same as the spiritual teachings of many other non-Christian traditions. It's called Christian experience. So in today's world, which is restless with conflict, uncertainty, division, maybe this message is much more relevant than the days during which Christ delivered this message. But one thing you have to keep in mind, frequently we have a tendency, and this is a common practice, a tendency among people, everything was wonderful in the past, today everything is going to dogs. This tendency frequently. Once upon a time, everything was very, very wonderful. You know, Christ's times were no better than our own times. Of course, they didn't have nuclear missile systems. They didn't have weapon systems that could exterminate the entire humanity several times. They didn't have. But still, the fundamental tendency of a human being towards the evil was very much there during his time. And also the number of great and good men and women who were clinging fast to the highest spiritual dharmic ideal that also was present at that time. So every age, in each age where a great man or woman manifested, whom we call incarnations, there was the same problem. So today when we celebrate Christmas in the true Vedanta spirit, we should deepen our faith in our own tradition and then draw inspiration from the example of Christ, who never did any harm to anyone or anything in this world, and who always had compassion for everyone. This central idea is the most relevant message for our own times. Going beyond celebrations, rather considering every celebration as an opportunity to reawaken in ourselves the spirit, the teachings that Christ taught, which continue to inspire and lead humanity, which produced great men and women, mystics, great arts, great paintings, great cathedrals, and which again, which continue to inspire and influence men and women, even in our, the founder of our own organization, Ramakrishna Mission, Swami Vivekananda himself used to carry with him a copy of Imitation of Christ. It was not as a part of interfaith dialogue. You know, frequently, once a year, we frequently gather delegates and representatives of different religious faith systems. They talk nicely, smiley, and then going back again, when they address their own folks in their own houses, they speak a different language, no? Swami Vivekananda could find in Christ the same divine manifestation that he saw in Sri Ramakrishna, his own guru. So you don't have to be a Christian to understand and appreciate the greatness of Christ. And that's a real greatness of Christ. That's true Vedanta also, Vedanta also. Even the Swami who came to San Francisco and built the first Hindu temple in the West, that is our old temple, he was a great follower of Jesus Christ without being baptized. So that is the universal spiritual dimension of a great spiritual teacher. They come for all times and they come for everyone. They do not come only for those who accept them alone as the only path. They come for helping everyone wherever in the history of humanity, wherever somebody is turning his mind to God, they are coming to help them. In Hindu Purana, there is an interesting character called Narada. So Narada is one of his most important characteristics was, wherever somebody's praying to God and finding some obstacles, or seeking advice and instructions. As in the case of Dhruva, a little boy, 5 years old, he was walking in the forest, going in search of a spiritual teacher. Narada appears before him and gave him a mantra which helped him to realize God within 6 months. Story of a 5-year-old boy, Dhruva is called. In the Bhagavata Purana, in the Chaturtha Skanda, in the fourth Skanda, fourth book, you find him, story. So like that, all great spiritual teachers are coming for the entire humanity, for all races, for all people, for everyone, not only for human beings, but also the entire humanity and all the entire creation. And they express their spirituality through compassion, through broad-mindedness, through love, and through forgiveness. So in these difficult times, whenever we turn anywhere, social media, newspaper, you find unpleasant things happening. Christ's example and what he taught sometimes can have an effect, an impact on human mind. Because like a star that remains effulgent for the last more than 2,000 years. Like Buddha, like the other great mystics. All spiritual traditions. So, I take this opportunity to wish you all a happy Christmas. And as we close this moment of reflection, let us send forth our own hearts of prayer and blessings for everyone. And again, take this opportunity to wish you all a happy New Year. A happy Christmas. Let the teachings of Christ, Jesus Christ, who inspired everyone who happened to know about him. Again, I repeat, not only those who belong to his faith system in an official hierarchical sense, but anyone who read about Christ could learn from him, could draw inspiration from him, and that is the uniqueness and the greatness of Christ. And that is true for all great spiritual teachers. So, I wish you all, once again, Happy Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you. Namaste. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.